Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens, at the heart of Irish homes for over 40 years. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
US President Joe Biden has been forced to pause campaigning after testing positive for COVID. The announcement comes as Democrats continue to pile pressure on the president to drop out of the race. In an interview yesterday with BET News, he was asked what would make him reevaluate his candidacy.
If there had some medical condition that emerged, if doctors came to me and said, you got this problem, that problem. But I made a serious mistake in the whole debate. And look, when I originally ran, you may remember it, I said I was going to be a transitional candidate. And I thought that I'd be able to move from this, just pass it on to someone else. But I didn't anticipate things getting so divided.
For more on this, I'm joined on the line by Scott Lucas, Professor of US and International Politics at the Clinton Institute in UCD. Scott, that's an interesting kind of walking back, isn't it, of his previous position that only God would make him reconsider his position?
Yes, absolutely right, Philip. It went from God Almighty to only adverse polling, which showed he couldn't win in November. And now, finally, if doctors make the recommendation, in theory, this provides, as it were, the exit ramp where Biden could withdraw gracefully and allow the Democrats to put up an alternative candidate. But I'm not sure we're there yet. I think, you know, the play right now from the Biden folks is that while he has COVID, this isn't a serious case, that they expect him to be back in a few days. So despite this question of the ongoing pressure on him, I don't think the reference to the doctors is sort of foreshadowing that he's going to at least voluntarily step aside.
Okay. He really can't catch an even break, though, here, can he? Because even if he is intent on staying in now, his forced absence from the scene, from the center stage, means that all of this speculation and all of this backroom maneuvering going on behind him can only continue apace.
Well, I think that's the immediate read, but I think there's a couple things that may cut against this. The first is, of course, is if it is only a mild case, and he does come back, you know, looking like he's recovered, then you can play the narrative of, look, you know, even though he is in his early 80s and there's these questions, you know, he's beaten COVID. And secondly, there's really a very small time frame here for those who want Biden to step aside to get it done, because you really have to prepare an alternative candidate before the Democratic National Convention begins on August 19th. And so if Biden, in a sense, plays this out for another week to 2 weeks, I think that that window closes. And, you know, even with the doubts of, you know, whether he can beat Trump, he's pretty much locked in to be there in November facing the former president.
Senior figures, though, are expressing increasing disquiet. Chuck Schumer, Nancy Pelosi, David Axelrod.
I think we need to navigate this very quickly, Philip, and let me explain why. And it's because of the timings of these interventions. I would have told you last week, you know, that when we were having this discussion now, Joe Biden would be going, that the pressure was too great from politicians, strategists, donors, and activists. But then the shooting happened at the Trump rally over the weekend. And the dynamic, at least from those who say Biden should stay, is, you know, look, unity, the need to pull America together, you don't replace your leader at a time like this. So let me refer to each of those people you referred to. David Axelrod, who is close to the Obamas, has repeated his call this week that Biden should step aside. So has Adam Schiff, a representative from California. But Nancy Pelosi's discussion with Biden, in which he didn't say you should step aside, but she said, look, the polls really show that you can't beat Trump. That took place before the shooting. Chuck Schumer, the Senate Majority Leader, his discussion with Biden took place on Saturday before the shooting. So do Pelosi and Schumer still believe that, yes, you know, for the sake of democracy, to avert the Trump threat, Biden should step aside? Or has the shooting changed the dynamic for them as well?
Indeed, it certainly seems that shooting has changed the dynamic on both sides of the aisle, hasn't it? Let's move our attention to Milwaukee and the Republican National Convention. J.D. Vance formally accepted the vice presidential nomination last night. And when he addressed the RNC, he told his rags to riches story.
Some people tell me I've lived the American dream, and of course they're right, and I'm so grateful for it. But the American dream that always counted most was not starting a business or becoming a senator or even being here with you fine people, though it's pretty awesome. My most important American dream was becoming a good husband and a good dad. But my fellow Americans here in this stage and watching at home, this moment is not about me. It's about all of us. And it's about who we're fighting for. And it's about, our movement is about single moms like mine who struggled with money and addiction but never gave up. And I'm proud to say that tonight my mom is here, 10 years clean and sober. I love you, Mom.
A moving story, and people there were no doubt moved by it, but not an awful lot of policy from J.D. Vance. Is that because he's really there on the ticket because of the swing states that he can swing, or does he bring any policy to the party, do you think?
Well, let's go level by level with this. First of all, not just Vance's speech, but the entire Republican National Convention this week is spectacle rather than substance and issues. The Republicans don't want to get into issues. That's not where they want to fight this. They want the whole show of J.D. Vance as the supporting actor with that rags to riches story with the returning hero, Donald Trump, after the shooting. That's what you get. The issues have been pushed aside by the U.S. media in this campaign, and the threat is it will happen all the way to November. So what is J.D. Vance doing here? What does he bring? First of all, J.D. Vance himself, it is important to note, there are two J.D. Vances. The J.D. Vance you heard yesterday was a man who said that Donald Trump had saved America. He was playing the spectacle of Trump almost as this messiah figure. The J.D. Vance in 2016, who was the military journalist, the venture capitalist, at that point wasn't thinking about a political career. He said that Donald Trump was America's Hitler and a moron. So Vance himself, if you cut through that rhetoric, is a man who remade himself as a Trumpist to try to advance his own ambitions. In terms of issues, let's talk about what was covered up yesterday and what Vance brings to the ticket. Vance doesn't actually bring much in terms of a swing state because Ohio will go to the Republicans right now. You know, Trump's got a healthy lead there. Vance doesn't bring a gender balance, a race balance. He brings basically Trump 2.0 with very, very hard-line views. He's just, let's say, a nicer face on it. J.D. Vance is anti-abortion, even in cases of rape and incest. He's anti-LGBT rights. He has publicly insulted women who do not have children. He is hostile against immigrants. He just uttered an Islamophobic slur saying that the UK has become an Islamist state armed with nuclear weapons. And he is hostile to Ireland. I just got a hold of a letter, a copy of which is where J.D. Vance effectively, in a letter to the Irish ambassador to the U.S.
Written when?
In December 2023, issued a threat over the hate speech bill, which was being considered for passage in the legislature here in Ireland. And Vance makes it clear, he compares Ireland to China, Myanmar, and Iran, and says if this hate speech bill passes, it will affect relations with the United States.
And you're confident about the authenticity of this letter, are you?
It's on the letterhead of J.D. Vance, and it is addressed to Geraldine Byrne-Nason, the ambassador to the United States. I have a copy of that.
Okay. Well, that's one that's going to require a little bit more delving into. Can we turn to the presidential nominee himself? Now, the official narrative is that the shooting has softened him and he now has changed his entire speech and he wants to be seen as a unifying force. Equally, though, such a close brush with death could bring out the fear and anger in many human beings. Which Trump do you think we're going to get in his speech tonight?
Boy, you just asked the big question. Let me just give you an episode from Monday to set these two things against each other. The spin on Monday by the Trump people to journalists when the convention opened in Milwaukee was unity, 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 unity. They said Trump has changed his speech. He's going to reflect that. He's been affected by the shooting. That was because they were worried that the fight, fight, fight line that he issued immediately after he was shot was too provocative. At the same time they were telling journalists this, Trump went on Truth Social and he said, we need a unified America. But his unified America was to throw out all the cases against him. He talked about the January 6th hoax. In other words, why am I being, there's no risk of the Capitol attack here. Why are you doing this? He talked about the Justice Department scam. He talked about the New York Attorney General being terrible because of the fraud conviction in civil court. He talked about the Manhattan District Attorney and insulted him because of the 34 felony convictions over his affair with the porn star.
So business as usual is your point.
My point here is if Trump sticks to a script written by his campaign, then maybe you get that unity message, just like Vance put it out last night. But Trump, if he doesn't stick to the script, mm-hmm. and when has Trump ever stuck to the script, you may get a return to that attack politics, even that politics of violence, which has made his career.
But he has always been smart about sensing the moment and seizing the moment. And he has an opportunity now, you would think, with the base having been galvanized because of the shooting, to reach beyond that and into the hearts and minds of those who might be extending him a little bit more sympathy than they would have previously.
But Trump plays to the crowd, and what does that crowd want? And what you saw immediately after the shooting, and I can understand why, is you had a crowd that responded to that fight, fight, fight call. You also had a crowd which, when Nikki Haley, Trump's opponent in the primaries, appeared on the stage this week, some of them did give her some applause, but a lot of them booed her. If Trump responds to a crowd which really wants that red meat fighting talk, then he goes off the unity script. We get that Trump of confrontation again.
Okay. Is it going to be unity? Is it going to be confrontation? Thank you very much, Scott Lucas, Professor of US and International Politics in UCD.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.